Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello and welcome to the NRF1 podcast. We are back once again on Acast and on iTunes, and we are here to preview the 2016 Monaco Grand Prix. Monaco, baby! Yeah! It's like my favourite race in the build-up, and then the race happens. It's like, ugh. But anyway, my name's Michael Bailey. I'm here with Steve Rust, Kyle Cumbers and Richard Baxter to talk about the latest Formula One news, catch up on the tweets and social, catch up on the Prediction League. It's been some time. And make our predictions ahead of the Monaco Grand Prix, where, of course, we'll be talking about who is going to shine around the streets of Monte Carlo this year. How are we all doing, gents? Everyone well? Do anyone want to make a noise now we've sort of digested all the Spanish action?
Whoopah.
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 Boosh.
Relieved.
Look at the highlights. Steve, cool, calm, collected, and relieved to be here, I'm sure. Absolutely. Shall we start with some of the news that's happened since the Spanish Grand Prix and all that wonderful fun and games in Barcelona? I mean, it's fair to say that the Mercedes fallout seems to be quite calm and not too bad. And in fact, the only thing that's really stirred about Mercedes is Ron Dennis suggesting that the next constructor to win the Drivers' Championship, or the Constructors' Championship, presumably, will be McLaren. Anyone buying that? Anyone?
No. Not a chance.
Is he talking in about a decade's time?
Well, possibly. Maybe Mercedes will just leave.
Well, yeah. No. No.
I don't know, but you know, you never know what Honda have got up their sleeves for next year. Obviously, the rules are changing a bit. Is that going to suit McLaren more? With higher downforce and everything. But I wouldn't count them off straight away.
So, do you think their car at the moment is quite bad because they're ploughing all their attentions into their 2019 car, perhaps? To be fair, it's not actually been that bad, certainly not as bad as last year so far.
Yeah, they've scored points in the first few races. So, I think it's just really the Honda engine that's let them down more than anything. But if you look how much it's improved since last year, it's actually been able to complete a lap. And that was something they didn't really have too often last year. So
Yeah, fair enough. It actually works, which is a good starting point. After the race in Barcelona, there was a test, wasn't there? And Lewis Hamilton can't take part in any more testing, I noticed. I read something that suggests that's it for him because they'd already ran... Was it Verlaine who ran for Mercedes?
Well, he ran Rosberg for the first day, and the plan was for Esteban Ocon, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Close enough.
For the second race, or second test day, and which was fine, it's part of the rules. But then, because they wanted to test some various stuff, they wanted a more experienced driver in. Pascal Verlaine came in, who's already raced two Grand Prix, so for the next test, they'll only allow two young drivers. So Lewis Hamilton can't test. So I don't know if that was Lewis, can you get here? No. Or Lewis,
I'm too busy on a red carpet somewhere.
Lewis, are you bothered about testing in Silverstone? Not really. Or they just didn't ask him. And just it was that desperate to get these bits tested. They didn't really care.
That last option might not have gone down well if that was genuinely how it happened. But they seem quite positive about Verlaine, and he said himself he feels ready to take on a Mercedes seat if ever one was offered to him. Have we seen much to suggest so far Verlaine could make that step up? Because every driver's going to say they're ready.
Well, of course they are, but I think ready as in driving for a midfield team or maybe one of the lower teams, but as in ready to run at the front, maybe not. I mean, Rosberg is out of contract at the end of next season, I think it is.
Yeah.
So they're potentially...
This season.
This season, sorry. Yeah, so they potentially could be a seat cup available there, but most people, I think, would tend to think they would go for some more experienced driver.
Hamilton's already suggested he doesn't fancy Ferrari necessarily, so I think he's quite happy with where he is, which is probably fair enough. Talking about drivers being ready, obviously Max Verstappen, we had a lot. If you haven't listened to our Spain review podcast, you should do, because it's cracking, talking about all the Mercedes fallout and of course what happened with Max Verstappen. A lot of praise recently as well for Red Bull, because they are the team that really solely developing drivers in the right way, and you criticise them for moving Daniil around and then Max up and then this guy and however ruthless they are, but they do it for the right reasons, and well, genuinely they look like they're the right reasons, and Max kind of proves that they really are developing great drivers.
They are, yeah. It'd be interesting to know, I don't know if anyone of you guys know, when Max Verstappen was first signed to the Red Bull Young Driver Programme.
Start of last year or the end of 2014 it would have been.
While he was in, because he was in Formula Renault, was it? F3.
Yeah, because there's a big, obviously he was seen as a big prospect. I think Mercedes were after him, Ferrari were after him, but Red Bull could offer a race seat straight away, so he went there. So
he's quite young. There's not a lot of development probably gone on, is there? Is there really? But I mean, and maybe more to the case, Daniel Ricciardo, because he's done very nicely and he has had spent, you know, those years at Red Bull.
Yeah, he has. He's come, you know, all the way up through the ranks, different formulas and things. And really, that's what you want to see, especially with the lower formulas, where they can get a drive in Formula 1 and hold it for quite a few years and have some success. You know, if Red Bull can get an engine which is much better, if they had, you know, a Mercedes-Ferrari engine, you probably have to say you could put both of their drivers at the minute in with a shout of winning the championship. But it just depends whether they can get the right package in their car.
Okay, let's touch on that first, because Renault are supplying an upgraded engine, aren't they, for Monaco? But apparently only one engine per team. So that's going to make it quite lively, especially if it just blows up.
Yeah, it's interesting. How they're going to choose? Just flip the coin, and or do they go for the Ricciardo's a more experienced one? I don't. And even, yeah, Renault, how do you decide between Magnussen and Palmer?
Isn't that a bit daft anyway, though? Because Monaco's not exactly the best track for testing engines, is it? It's not most affected by the power of your engine, so they're really going to notice it that much. You might as well wait until afterwards. And I mean, Spain would have been ideal for it, really.
I guess it's something they could just use in test in practice, yeah, and then not worry about the race conditions, which might be the best way. There's some great quotes from Daniel Ricciardo, which was the other thing I wanted to mention, just reflecting on what happened in Spain, the fact that he was actually finding it quite difficult to come to terms with the fact that he didn't win the race and Max did, and that it was the first thing he was thinking of each time he was waking up in the morning. And I've heard so many good things about Daniel, and I imagine we're going to see a real response from him over the rest of the season, and it really tees up a fantastic battle between him and Max.
Well, it does really, because I mean, until Max Verstappen came in, I mean, we sort of largely assumed that he probably was the team leader there, and I think he pretty much expected that to continue, not saying that it isn't going to, but after his new teammate came in on first drive and won the race, psychologically that's just sort of ruined him, probably, until he gets a couple of good results, you know, against his team under his belt. So yeah, it'll be quite interesting. But I mean, once again, Red Bull has thrown up a nice dishy sort of thing between them for the rest of the season, potentially.
They love it. Christian Horner loves it. He must love confrontation.
And didn't that happen with Vettel? Because obviously Ricciardo came in and was outperforming him for the majority of the season. And then, of course, we know what Vettel did afterwards. And
just moved.
Yeah. You know, Ricciardo is, he's obviously a different character. I would have thought, you know, he'd prefer to stay with the team. But, I mean, if he doesn't respond, could, you know, is he likely to just move elsewhere?
We will see. The other thing I wanted to mention, there's signs and sounds about a new sponsorship package coming in for Formula One involving Heineken. No, Heineken. Who's Heineken?
Relation of Raikkonen.
Have I made up a Finnish driver?
It's the love child of Mika Häkkinen and Kimi Raikkonen.
With a bit of Heikki Kovalainen in it, yeah. I love Heineken. They should actually call themselves Heineken. Anyway, Heineken, who probably would also make a very good Formula 1 driver. I don't know if they'd be from Finland, though. Apparently, it's going to be a game changer. Do you know why that's going to be? Why it's going to be a game changer, Kyle?
Anyway, is if they give free beer to the spectators.
And the drivers, I suppose. Yeah. We're not condoning that.
Could you imagine having Pastor Maldonado after six or seven Heinekens driving around
probably be just the same, to be honest, I imagine.
Maybe that's what they could do, maybe a little kart race on a Saturday afternoon, drivers have a few beers and then jump in. I don't know how this is going to sponsor's going to change.
That would be a game changer. that definitely would deliver the game changing results. A couple of other bits I've got to mention is the new NRF1 logo. Hope you've seen it, hope you like it. There are three versions. The other two haven't been made public yet, but I just say the colours is the interesting bit. Obviously, we're sticking to our Team Lotus heritage with a nice green, dark racing green, yellow. Anyone like the logo? Not that I did it myself, but anyone like the logo?
I like also the little car you added on with the little shapes is yellow, which of course Lotus used for a while when they were Camel, I think, wasn't it? When they were sponsored by Camel?
Yes.
And the current team, Renault, who obviously took over from Lotus last year, are yellow as well.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a yellow version of the logo with blue trim? I haven't quite figured out how this is all going to happen, because normally you only have one logo. But there we go. So there's some logos. And we are going to be launching our new Patreon page, which allows you guys to help us out with money. Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? But basically, I think this podcast is great and we want to kind of spread the word of it. And a little bit of extra money in the pot will help us do that. So that's what we're going to try and do. No pressure, obviously. It's just an opportunity. Should you want to do it? And we'll do our bit and we'll see what we can do with this podcast, because the way that the prediction leagues and everything is going, I think we've had a great year of it so far. It's been a top NRF1 year and a top F1 season 2. Right, shall we crack open with some of your tweets? It's Tweets and Social. Lovely. Let's rattle through a few of these, shall we? Johnny Parfitt was in touch. It was one from a little while ago that we had a little bit of catching up to do, so I'm just going to catch up now. But basically, he mentioned one of his highlights from the Russian Grand Prix back then, if you can remember that far back, apart from Vettel swearing. Shall we hear that again? Let's hear that again.
Oh, I'm out! Crash! Somebody hit me in the rear, turn two, and then somebody hit me in the rear again in turn three, for sake.
Yeah, now that was a clear highlight, obviously, his radio message. But also, he then tried to put his front wing into his car. Anyone remember that? Him trying to put his front wing and sit it in his cockpit?
I do vaguely remember seeing that, because is that his only retirement where he's actually crashed into the wall this year?
Awesome. Yeah, that was the other good bit was he got, well, went to find a moped and obviously didn't allow the driver of the moped to ride it home. He decided to take it himself and then bloke on the back, which I thought was quite amusing at the time as well. So
sort of thing you can do when you're a Formula One driver, I think that is. Kieran Cousins has been in touch over the fact that Red Bull had been claiming it's a three-horse race with Williams and Ferrari to finish behind Mercedes. I mean, I think he may have tweeted that before the Spanish Grand Prix. I mean, effectively, it's quite clearly a three-horse race behind Mercedes now, I guess. And I suppose if they do have this engine upgrade and it works, then you know, Red Bull are properly back on it compared to last year, especially.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, well, especially after the last race, you know, where they got a pretty decent haul of points. But yeah, I mean, we have to see what this upgrade brings, and you know, but certainly Ferrari are not as strong as I thought they would be this season. So I think Red Bull are a lot closer to them. So I think really it's sort of going to be between sort of I can't see Williams featuring, if I'm honest. I think it's more between Ferrari and Red Bull.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Williams haven't quite had the start of the season we all kind of anticipated and hoped, I suppose. It'd be nice to see them back up there winning races, but at the minute I don't quite think they've got it. But then I suppose if you go to Monza, if you go to Spa, they're kind of more suited to those tracks, so you never know with, you know, with some mayhem thrown in, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, they'll be looking forward to that, I think, Williams. I did just say, Kieran tweeted, just wanted a shout out for his YouTube channel, K-Cuz, which is K-C-O-U-S, like couscous. K-Couscous? K-Cus21 on YouTube. He's doing some F1 themed videos. We're going to check them out, Kieran, and you should check them out as well. Hopefully they're perfectly suitable to do that. Should have done that first, but I'm sure they are, Kieran. I trust you. So I look forward to catching up with some of those. What else did we have? Adam Sinclair. Now, he sent me a video. I think it was of the highlights and of the Formula One season with Sky Sports, and that sort of touched on the joke between Jenson Button and Martin Brundle that had annoyed me so much. really pissed me off the other week, to be honest. I want to know what the in-joke is. Don't sit there going in jokes. The nipple tweak. But even when he did it in this video that Adam linked to, he still said, oh, doing that again. So what is the in-joke? Are we any clearer what the in... Is the in-joke just giving the nipple tweak, or is there a reason for this that we don't know about?
I think so, yeah. I think I've gone on quite a while, so maybe I've forgotten.
What was that first nipple tweak for?
A bit good luck. I think
it's to stir up interest like this.
Just to talk about it for no reason.
Yeah, that's just one of those gimmick-type things.
Damn you, Sky Sports! Yeah. Damn you! A quick heads up for the Dats Life boys. As I said, we're going to get them involved. Hopefully we'll get some audio reviews of the races coming up to sit nicely in our podcast. They're good boys, and hopefully they'll be doing some blogs as well over the course of the season. So keep an eye out for that. Perfect time then to take us on to Monaco. My favourite race, as I said at the start, pretty much until the racing gets going and no one overtakes each other. But I love it. It's like my favourite place in the world, and I hope it never changes. Am I on my own here? Because I remember Ped always calling it a gimmick race. Damn you, Ped. Gimmick race.
No, it is a brilliant circuit. It's a brilliant track. The one annoying thing is, of course, there's not as much overtaking as we might like. And of course, the setting and the surroundings are incredible, and just how unique it is where you have the royal family give you the winning trophy, and you just stand on the steps and everything, and it's, you know, the whole place seems interested in it. I mean, it'd be quite interesting to know if there's anyone in Monaco who isn't a Formula One fan and how angry they are that their road gets closed every year just for some cars.
I bet it's a lot. I bet it's more than you would imagine, to be honest. Most of the F1 fans probably can't afford to live there. It's just the drivers and then wealthy people.
But that's the amazing thing, though. You've got all the boats and all the yachts, I should probably say, that park up. I mean, could you just imagine parking your boat, sitting on top, crack open a bottle of wine, and you just sit there surrounded by 50 different women who are just doing whatever, and you're just drinking wine, watching cars?
Absolutely. Yes, I was going to say that's the kind of thing you dream about every time you enter the lottery, until you mentioned about the women, obviously, because it'd be me and my wife sitting there and we'd have loads of fun. And I know my wife loves Monte Carlo as well, so there we go.
I think it's just F1 history, isn't it? It's just all the images going back. I saw one the other day, and it was just driving around the harbour, and there was no fencing. It was just a few posts, and I think it was like the 60s.
The hang bones as well that get put up on the side.
It's just a big part of F1 is the history, and this Monaco is just, yeah, it's just brilliant. It's sometimes not a great race, but it's just, if you just look at it, it's quite bizarre, really, because if you tried to set up a track now in them sort of conditions with that close to walls and buildings and stuff, just, you wouldn't allow it, and health and safety wouldn't allow it. And it's just, yeah, it's just, you've got to keep it going because it's just part of F1.
Do not touch it. There, I will try and see if I can dig out the link again, but there's a YouTube video of Ayrton Senna doing one of his pole laps. Just incredible footage, and it's the same circuit. I just absolutely adore it. The other thing I'll try and find the link for is Lewis Hamilton. There's a Vine Lewis Hamilton driving into his third place thing, because let's not forget, they completely balls this up last year, didn't they, Mercedes? Poor Lewis.
They did, and that mate was sort of.
And he's not won there, has he? Lewis hasn't won it.
Yeah, he has.
He has won.
2008, he won it in the year he won his first championship. I think that was a wet race actually during that one, but
he hit the wall coming out of.
That's right.
One of the chicanes, wasn't it? What does it say here?
For an early pit stop, and then that kind of really propelled him to the end of the race, because no one else, that was before everyone else and all that sort of thing. But I mean, one thing I like about Monaco, just back to your sort of original question, is obviously it's more of a race probably for the drivers, but the one thing I like about it is it's not like going to Abu Dhabi where you've got all of these billions of pounds spent on really flashy facilities. It's just like barely any facilities, and it just kind of harks back to probably the original days of F1 before things really got serious amount of money ploughed into it. And it's just like the podium is just like so makeshift, and it's just nice. It's just basic facilities, and it's just more about racing. That's just one thing I like about it.
Basic, yeah, very expensive. It's right. part of the charm is that even the most basic stage is multi-millions of pounds. But, you know, they get to have pool parties and all sorts, don't they? And there's people watching from their pools on their roof terraces. It's an amazing place. If you haven't been to Monaco, and somehow you can get there, because I know that we have listeners from all over the world. Worth me saying at this point, by the way, our Russia review Spain preview was the most listened to podcast we've ever done. I don't know why. It was amazing. So thank you all. Keep up the good work. Right, most important weekend then. Monte Carlo, who's it most important weekend for? Who wants to go first?
Lewis Hamilton.
Well, it's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, he's now not even second in the Drivers' Championship. He's now third, isn't he? Because Kimi's overtaken him. But he's still the 43 points behind.
In a car that is disappointing us, we say Ferrari. So is that just Mercedes' fault, really, I suppose?
Well, yeah, really. I mean, that... if they hadn't have had that first lap incident, then I don't think it would have been that kind of result. But it's got to be. I mean, I know we keep saying it, but he still hasn't won since last season, which was all the way back to America.
Since he won the world title.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a lot of races now. It's got to be the most important weekend for him.
I'd kind of go a bit wide on that and say Mercedes in general, after fall out of their drivers, can they keep him under control? Because if they try and go side by side in Monaco, it could all end in tears again. So you never know.
He says with a smile on his face.
Yeah, slightly. Even though, you know, Hamilton fan, but it's, you know, it's all the action. But on the subject of Raikkonen as well, I suppose with him it's been quite consistent this year to get that second place. As well as Vettel's got quite up a few times in incidents. I think has there been one retirement for Raikkonen, which was at the first race where his car caught fire. Yeah. So yeah, other than that, I think he's been in the points. So it's been some consistent driving from him, which is something we haven't always seen.
It does emphasise how bad a season so far it's been for Seb, really. But there we go. Kyle?
Yeah, it's got to be Hamilton. Even without taking into account the championship, because Rosberg's won there 3 years in a row. And obviously Hamilton being a big Senna fan, and Senna's record there of 6 wins, he always gets the impression he's really desperate to win. Obviously last year got sort of taken away from him. So even if he was 43 points ahead himself, I mean, he'd be so desperate to win the Monaco Grand Prix, so it's got to be him.
Got to be. Well, I'll plump for a different one and just say Daniel Ricciardo, because he won't be wanting Max to outperform him. Two races, certainly 2 out of 2, wouldn't look very good at all, would it? Okay, this is a key point. The Predictions League. We haven't done an update. We've had the predictions, they've kept going in, but we haven't done an update since Russia. So I need to rattle through these. I promise I'm not going to go through all of them because we will be here all week. But let's just say DT, Dave Tillier, he didn't have a great time of it in Russia and didn't manage any predictions for Spain. So looking ahead then to the people who did go for both. Rich, you had an excellent time of it at the Spanish Grand Prix completely. You had that there would be one Spaniard in the top 10, which you got right. No wets in any session, which I think was right. The tyre blowout, which happened in the first pre-practice session. A Rosberg DNF. Great shouts there. So you had a great time of it. Not so good in Russia, but we'll breeze over that. Steve, workmanlike, I would say. Consistency. Bit of a Kimi weekend for you over the last two shots. Same for me, really, but I am working my way up in the table, which is good, and I did have a better time of it. In Spain, my personal highlight being predicting Verstappen would finish ahead of Ricciardo, which remarkable. Don't know where that one came from. Kieran Cousins, he's had a difficult couple of weeks. Kieran, keep it coming, because it's easily turned around. Don't worry about that.
As a word of confidence for him, before the Spanish Grand Prix, the most I got right was 2 predictions, and then suddenly I got 4 or 5. So it's...
every dog has its day. That's the essence here. Johnny Parfitt, again, had a tough couple of weeks. You know, he made a good start, but he's tripping up a little bit. We haven't had anything from Unlucky Timmy. What's happened to him, Carl? Is he all right?
I had a good debate about the Hamilton-Rosberg with him a little while ago, so... yeah, I have to remind him.
Give him a reminder. We need to hear from him.
Did it come to fisticuffs? Is that what you're trying to say? Or
no, he was very pro Rosberg. I was a bit more 50-50.
Wow, I'd like to hear that viewpoint. I would like to hear that viewpoint.
It's on Twitter, so you can see the debate if you look at my Twitter.
It's all on Twitter. At K Cumbers, you'll be able to follow that debate. I'd like to know how Timmy backed that, considering Nico came so far across he couldn't actually make the turn. But never mind, we'll leave that one for another day. Kyle, your prediction, you had a great time of it in Russia, looking at this, including Rosberg pole and two Renaults to exit Q1, and Palmer to pit on lap 14. 10 points. A terrible time of it in Spain, though, I'm afraid. So it all evened itself out. And Sam Todd had a reasonable effort in Spain. Keep it coming, Sam. It basically all leaves the table from bottom up. DT bringing up the rear. Then we have Kieran Rich in ninth. You've moved up. Josh Raymond is eighth. Johnny P down to seventh. Ped is sixth. Somehow picking up a place despite not predicting anything. I think that may be because we've all done so badly. I'm up to fifth, which I'm happy with. Sam is still in fourth. Steve, you're down to third. Kyle, second. And Timmet is top. Again, without having predicted anything in the last two rounds. That will, because of my technical and extraordinarily clever algorithm, will even itself up over the course of the season. So, Tim, I don't think you can just sit there not predicting, because eventually these boys will catch you. It's only a slender lead, but it is a slender lead all the same. Timmer down to Kyle. So that leaves Monaco predictions. Monaco, baby, who wants to go first?
Go on then.
Yeah. Since blank just faces, as Rich was about to.
Blank faces. Now, I'm going to say, because it's Monaco, we usually have a safety car during the race. I think it's going to happen. Much to the gloom in this room, I honestly think it's going to be a Rosberg win. As much as I hate to say it, but I honestly think that is. And I think Hamilton will be second. And I think Vettel's going to have a better weekend. I think he's going to make up the last podium spot on the Sunday after some poor races. And no rain over the entire weekend. And I'll leave it at that, because I largely can't think of anything more on the spot.
There we go. Come on then, eager beavers.
I can chuck some in the ring. That's gone for my usual kind of theme of slightly mad.
Yeah, Rich, yeah. It's only ninth, it's fine. You're winning the battle.
I'm top 10, so I'm happy.
You have got the most kudos points, which does indicate you've been most wild with your predictions.
Fair enough. This first one, I might get one, because I think someone will try overtaking at the hairpin, fail, and break their front wing.
Okay, yeah. Well, in the race, can we say in the race?
Yeah, in the race.
Some of you are going to have to start self-policing these problems, by the way, because they get harder to find.
I'm going to say finishing positions, end of the race, three different teams on the podium.
Nice.
I'm going to say a red flag during either quali or the race.
Oof.
McLaren and Renault to score at least a point.
Okay.
It's not the most engine-reliant track. So, and Ricciardo to finish ahead of Verstappen.
Yeah. Good old Daniel.
Back the Aussies.
Back the Aussies. Go on then, Kyle.
I'm going for Hamilton to bounce back and a pole on the win. I think McLaren will be reasonably strong.
Reasonably strong.
partly because Williams has struggled the last few years there. So I think they'll be the fourth quickest car there. So I'm going for a McLaren in the top eight in qualifying, which would be good for them. Also, Sainz had a good race there last year from the pit lane and got some points, so I'm going to go him for top eight in the race. And he also done well in Barcelona. My perfect prediction will be for Bottas to pit on lap 22, and also the line will beat both the Saubers in the race.
Well, I think, did you predict you might have used that one recently as well?
Qualifying last time.
Which didn't happen, because they were way off it, dear old Manor. Okay, well, that leaves me, doesn't it? I predict Nico Rosberg will not win this race. He will not win this race. Is that okay? Can I allow? Everyone's letting me have that. I think that Max Verstappen will not finish this race. I think he'll get a bit carried away, and I think Daniel Ricciardo will be on the podium. Don't ask me how, but he'll pull it off. And then how about a little cheeky one?
What about some Haas predictions?
Well, actually, I was thinking about this. Romain Grosjean quite likes Monaco, I think. I think he's done pretty well there in the past. I'm saying that off the top of my head. I haven't actually looked at that.
He got taken out last year by Verstappen, didn't he?
It was, yeah. And I think he was running okay at that point.
He was in the points, I think it was sixth, maybe.
He's also going to be, I think he's going to be wearing on his helmet a tribute to Jules Bianchi, because it was his best. They got Virgin's first points ever at Monaco. 2 years ago, wasn't it? I think now, maybe, or maybe 1 year, I can't remember, but 2014. So yeah, let's say Romain Grosjean to finish in the points, because they didn't manage that, did they, in Spain. And one more, Jolyon Palmer will finish ahead of Kevin Magnussen, which is a big shout, because Magnussen's been doing very well recently. Job done. There we are. Everyone done? Everyone smiling? Everyone's looking, nodding, knowingly. We are done. All right then. Well, it just leaves us with the housekeeping then, doesn't it? You can visit the website, which is nrf1.uk, for all our blogs. We'll have Kyle's betting tips ahead of Monaco.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the bookies to come out with their odds because they're a bit slow this time. So maybe they're, what do they? Maybe they're worried.
Maybe they're worried. They're all drunk on Heineken. Probably. Or Heikkinen, one of the others. So hopefully we'll have those. Keep an eye out on all the usual channels, though, which will have links to that and more. The usual channels are Twitter at the NRF1, or if you want to get to hashtag, then use the hashtag the NRF1, because apparently NRF1 now is some sort of massive protein health drink. So it's a massive discovery, apparently. So if you can have a look at NRF1 if you want, but it's nothing to do with us.
Maybe there's some sponsorship deal we could get going on.
Well, this is the idea, but I'll have a word. So the Twitter handle at the NRF1, if you want to use the hashtag the NRF1. Facebook.com/NRF1podcast. Email us, NRF1podcast@gmail.com. And as I said, if you really enjoy this and you sit there thinking, you know what, I hope more people will listen to this, more people will create more work for Michael Bailey as he does as a prediction league, and just spread the word, then have a look at the Patreon page, which I think off the top of my head is patreon.com/NRF1. It's all in dollars, so it's an American site, but that's all good. That doesn't matter.
F1's kind of dealt with,
exactly,
in dollars, so
it has to be dollars. And we're literally like $1 a month. It's like 70p a month. And then just if all our listeners did that, we would make this podcast.
We could go to Monaco.
We could go. We could do live Monaco podcasting with you. We'll bring some of you along. It's not just about us. We'll bring some of you along. But you have to bear in mind what the impact we... Kyle Cumbers came up with the three-tire strategy, effectively, that Formula One is using now. We are changing Formula One for the better. And I think that deserves, you know, the help and platform to do more. To do more, because all those issues you've got with Formula One out there, we can help you sort them out, and we will do it. I promise you. Voice of the fans. NRF1, voice of the fans. Love it, Rich. That's the tagline. Great work. Right, that plug over. Okay, and that's all the places to get hold of us. Thank you, gents. Thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. We really hope you enjoy the Monaco Grand Prix. We're excited, yeah. Woo-ha.
Woo-pa.
Woo-pa. And woo-pa. Kyle, Rich, Steve, thank you so much for your time. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you on the other side of the Monaco Grand Prix. Enjoy it, baby. Yeah! Bye for now.
Monaco, baby! Yeah!
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.